Please stand as you are able. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Then the disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The woman at the well. It's a well-known story within church walls that sometimes we lose significance of what the meaning of this story really is. Now, we might be able to say, "Yeah, that's the story about the woman who'd been married a bunch of times," but can we really say more about the story? Do we really listen to the whole story, or do we just set a judgmental glance on this woman at the well? So let's dive in and take a closer look. Jesus has been on a journey, And in this journey, he ends up at this well that he sits down, tired and worn out. His disciples go to get food in the village. But this isn't just any well. This is the well of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, who we profess as the father of our faith. And Jesus comes to this well that was in Samaria, and he is worn out. It's the hottest part of the day. It's the time of day that no one was going to come to the well. It's the time of day that this particular woman comes knowing that no one is coming to the well, because she knows that she has a reputation that precedes her. She doesn't want to be part of the time when everybody comes to the well early in the morning to socialize, because she doesn't want to be scoffed at or snickered at behind her back. She was an outcast that didn't want people to see her at the well. It was easier for her to come at noon in the high heat of the day than it was for her to face the ridicule that she would have came if she would have came at any other time. So this woman, you can kind of hear it in the gospel as she approaches, is shocked that somebody else is at the well at the same time she is. I can just imagine her kind of taking a step back and saying in her head, do I really want to go? Should I wait until he leaves? Should I come back another time? But her journey was too far at that point, and so she goes to the well to get the water. And then this guy that's sitting at the well asks, give me a drink of water. She's shocked. Somebody is speaking to her, but just not anybody. This is a Jewish man speaking to a Samaritan woman. And that point starts the longest dialogue that between Jesus and somebody else in the whole entire Gospel of John. From that request begins this deep and rich conversation. Now, this is a very different conversation than we heard about last week in the third chapter of John between Jesus and Nicodemus. If you remember, they're almost exactly opposites. Nicodemus is a male, respected, powerful, a Pharisee of high status. And here we have this Samaritan woman, vulnerable, disregarded, unmarried, of very low status. Nicodemus was the Jewish insider. The Samaritan woman is a Samaritan outsider. Nicodemus has a name. This Samaritan woman is unnamed throughout history. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. This woman is approached by Jesus in the middle of the day. In the Nicodemus story, there's dialogue, but nothing really sincere. Jesus opens up in a long monologue, and then we're kind of left hanging with what happens afterwards. Here in this story with the Samaritan woman, we see that they are engaged in an extensive dialogue where in the end her faith is turned out to the world. The woman says to Jesus as he asks for this request, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? And it kind of puzzles us, right? Why is Jesus asking? Why does he cross that line? At Bible study on Tuesday morning, I was asked about the difference between Samaritans and Jews. And afterwards, I went and I dug a little bit into the history. And here are some of the things that I found out. They shared a common God and some common stories in the beginning. Both of them have Jacob as their ancestor. But at that point, they then venture off into two different ways. They lived out their faith differently. They had major differences where the central point of their faith was. The Jews in Jerusalem, the Samaritans on the mountain where Jesus and this woman stood. And this began to cause a lot of problems between the two groups. Those problems eventually turned to hate because each of the groups clung so tightly to what they believed that they could no longer find the common ground that they had once had. Doesn't that happen all too often? So they became despised enemies. But this woman, she knew a common language with Jesus. She knew how to speak the faith just like Jesus did. And as she questions him and pushes him on this water, this living water that he talks about, unlike Nicodemus, her heart was immediately opened to receiving the gift that she knew nothing about. "Sir, if this is living water, if you can give this to me, give me that water so that I may never be thirsty again, so that I don't ever have to come to this well and draw water here." And it's at that point in the story that there should be a really hard pause, because it's at that point that Jesus saw this woman. And I mean, he really saw her. He knew the shame or the burden or the secret that she was carrying around with her of being married 5 times. And to be clear, we don't know why she had been married 5 times, because the scripture doesn't tell us the rest of the story. Most of the time we make the assumption about this woman that she was married and that she's living with a guy that isn't her husband. And we make the assumption that it's a bad, bad thing. But we don't know. She could have had horrible luck and been widowed 5 times already in her life, which wouldn't have been uncommon at this time and place. But what we do know is that she carries it as a burden, maybe as a burden of grief, maybe as a burden of shame, maybe as a burden of just not feeling like she is enough. Whatever it is, she carries this secret with her. And often that short piece of dialogue becomes the point and purpose of the text for us, us placing judgment on this woman. But that isn't the point and purpose, because if we look at those verses again, Jesus isn't calling her out to shame her, but instead calling her out to know her, to let her know, "I see you. I see you for who you really are." And her response isn't one of shame, but one of Jesus' ability to know her and to love her. She didn't try to justify why she had been married 5 times or why she was living with this particular guy. Her response was the look in Jesus' face, knowing that this wasn't judgmental. And instead, she responds out of faith, "I see that you must be a prophet." Because Jesus sees this woman for all that she is, she in turn could see Jesus for all that he was, or at least more than he appeared to be. She came to the well broken that day, but what she got instead was an encounter with Jesus. She continues to listen to Jesus, continues to question him, and continues to digest all that is being said. And for the first time in the Gospel of John, and in the presence of an unnamed woman in our scripture, Jesus declares, "I am he. I am the one that you have been waiting for, that you have been longing for. I am he." We try really hard sometimes to cover up our secrets, our past, our faults, our failures in this life. And from time to time, we all have something that we don't even want the people who are closest to us to know about. Did you know that there is a whole entire website dedicated to secrets? In 2004, Frank Warren started a blog called postsecret.com as a temporary community art project. He invited people to mail in postcards that had one of their secrets written on it. And the rules were simple. It had to be anonymous. and no one else can know this about you. This turned into a bigger art project than he ever thought. His blog is still going strong today and has generated thousands and thousands and thousands of beautifully decorated postcards of people's secrets. Because he is a secret keeper, he's been asked to do TED Talks as well as lead conventions. And here are some of the secrets that you might see posted on these postcards. I rationalize my Oreo binges because they are vegan, which I now will be doing as well. I always read the last paragraph of a book before I start it. I give decaf to customers who are rude to me. Be nice to your Starbucks people. The first thing I do when I meet a new guy is make sure he isn't friends with any of my exes on Facebook. I'm only going to church to save $1,000 on my wedding. I'm almost 30 and still have no idea where I'm going, but I'm learning to be okay with that. Since they came out with self-checkout lanes, I buy more junk food. I thought about joining the Peace Corps, but halfway through the application process, I realized I was too high maintenance to live in a third world country. I feel shame, not for the things that I've done wrong, but for the right things I have failed to do. What would the woman at the Wells postcard have been decorated like, and what would it have said? Maybe it would say something like, I want someone to look at my face and not just see the past, but to see all that I am and could be, all my hopes and my dreams. But that's too much to hope for or to wish for or to pray for. So I don't, not anymore. But that encounter that Jesus had with that woman at the well changed the course of her life. So, if you had to send a postcard in, what would your postcard say? Sometimes our deep secrets, our past, our shame, get in the way of us living out what God wants us to be in the world. Maybe deep down inside, we fear that if they get to know us, they won't like us. Or if they get to know us, they will judge us. Or if they get to know us, they will reject us or call us a hypocrite. But her life changed that day. Jesus met this woman where she was in life, in the brokenness, in the pain, in the suffering. And Jesus meets us at exactly that same place. He spoke a word of truth to her and for her. And Jesus does the same for us. Jesus knew all of her secrets and loved her anyways. But the best part is that Jesus didn't leave her in that shame and that brokenness, in that embarrassment, in that grief, in that whatever moment it was. In fact, Jesus calls her to a different kind of life. A life where she loved herself, saw her worth, and began to reach out to people again in love and compassion like God had originally intended. Jesus gave this woman's life a whole new meaning. She could never be the same again after that encounter. What is the part of you that needs an encounter with Jesus, that needs to be seen, that needs to be brought out in the open so that the life you were intended to live, you can live? We all have that part of us where we feel our vulnerability hangs, the shame is too deep. But what if you knew? What if you really, really, really knew that Jesus looks at you and loves you the same and wants you to live a different way out of that shame and brokenness? Jesus sees right past it and continues to call you to a better place, a place of healing, a place of service, a place of following. Because until we really give up those secrets, those things that are holding us back, until we really give that to God and trust that God can see us and know us and love us right where we are and not leave us there, we can't follow fully. Because our discipleship is clouded with a view of ourselves that is not seen by Jesus. Jesus' encounter with this woman at the well was one of deep theological conversation, one of seeing who she was, one that didn't leave her where she was, but instead made her a witness to the whole village of Samaria, into a witness to God breaking into the world. I am he, the one you have been waiting for. This woman's encounter made her a witness who shared the message and converted that whole village and a whole people. We know from Scripture that many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. She didn't have the perfect words. She didn't have the perfect life. She didn't have the perfect right answers all the time. She just told people what Jesus had done in her life. So what's holding you back? What part of you needs to be dealt with so that you can love God more fully? What part of you needs to have this type of encounter with Jesus? Our new life begins when we finally recognize the man that is sitting at the well with us, the one that offers us living water and a new life. So come and see. Be known by him, be loved by him, be changed by him, and then go. Go out into the world and share what Jesus has done in your life. Amen.